onto solid bare rock. They reached the main gate to the abandoned fortress, with Strasser constantly looking back over his shoulder, watching for any sign of Ryan and the others emerging from the forest. But the waving fringe of trees was undisturbed. To the west, the sun was already well down, showing only half its brazen disk.
Soon be dark.
So what?
So the night makes things level. You'll see, or rather, you won't see.
Moving more slowly, worried about the possibility of an ambush, Ryan and the other four didn't reach the edge of the trees until dusk. The sun was gone, leaving only the fading golden glow over the western mountains. It had become much cooler, and their breath feathered out when any of them spoke. They could see the trail as it snaked above them, vanishing over the lip of the hill, in among the cold ruins. There was no sign of Strasser, though Ryan was uncomfortably aware of the Russian rifle that his enemy was so skilled at using. If it had come safely through the waterfall, it could be trained on them from the shadows above. JB moved a drooping branch with his hand and peered up at the towering wreckage of the redoubt.
We stop or go on?
The longer we wait, the longer that triple bastard has to get around whatever's left up there. Be full dark in a half hour. We'll move then.
From what Mildred had learned about the huge military fortresses that had been built in secret during the 1990s, she'd imagined them as impenetrably vast and indestructible. The Russian missiles had certainly damaged some of them, but that had been nothing compared to what the Earth itself had done. The massive steel sectors that had once guarded the front entrance were buckled and twisted, lying in rusting, mangled heaps in the dirt. Mildred couldn't imagine that anything remained of value in the ruined complex. If there had ever been a cryo center linked to the redoubt, the chance of any Freezies surviving looked hopelessly remote.
Now, bitch, we'll find us somewhere snug and warm. Somewhere that one eye won't come creepy crawling after us. Get moving.
Even Court Strasser was nearing the far edge of ragged exhaustion. His gleaming boots were now cracked and muddied. His white ruffled shirt was torn and stained with trail dirt. The leather pants had several long tears in them. In the dusky light, Mildred could see the lines of tiredness carved deep in the wind-washed bone of the skeletal face. But his inexorably ruthless drive hadn't weakened for a moment. She knew that the first sign of rebellion, or any attempt to escape, would earn her a bullet through the head. She began to pick her way through the tumbled rubble. The trail took the five companions above the valley, with its insidious patches of patient quicksand. They reached what had been the main entrance to the redoubt at least an hour after Strasser and Mildred had walked there. There was a silver segment of moon floating far above them, giving enough light for them all to wonder at what seemed to be total devastation.
I fear that little can have survived within this maelstrom of fallen rocks, and if there should be a Freezy center, I cannot believe it would have fared any better. Our journey has proved fruitless.
What fruit?
Nobody explained. Everyone was locked into their own private thoughts. Ryan had two worries. If the redoubt had ever had a gateway, could it possibly still be functioning? And a wilderness of concrete and rusted iron like this was made for an ambush.
Where's Strasser?
Mildred was afraid to breathe. The thin cord was knotted tightly around her ankles, then brought up her back to bind her wrists together. The whipcord finally was looped around her neck on a running slipknot, so that if she tried to move to get away, she would garrote herself. Strasser had tied her with the almost religious pleasure of the true sadist, pulling each knot as tight as he could. The thin cord cut deep into her skin, making blood seep around her nails. After she was completely helpless, he'd started to fondle her breasts, digging his long nails into the tender skin.
I'm a Freezy, Strasser.
What?
Back where I came from, I tested HIV positive. Means I could have AIDS. You heard about the AIDS epidemic of 1994, have you, Strasser? Killed one person in 11 in Chicago, one in 14 in New York, one in 9 in some districts of San Francisco.
What?
His hand stopped moving.
Any kind of sexual contact, Strasser. All it takes. How come you stopped? Afraid of fucking me to death?
goddamn Goddy!
Strasser slapped her hard across the side of the face and moved away from her, curling up against a broken wall of gray stone, deep in the recesses of the long empty redoubt. Eventually, despite the cramp and the discomfort, Mildred managed to snatch a few restless minutes of sleep. 600 yards away, Ryan and the others had been readying themselves for the night. Despite the fact that all of them were gut-weary, Ryan insisted on a watch.
Strasser could be anywhere around here, like a rat in a ruined ville. We got a place here that he can only come one way. Can't overlook us because we're high. So we do an hour on and four off. Me first. Then Jack, then Christy, then Doc, and then JB. And then me again, through the night.
But nothing happened. Ryan jerked awake.
Wolves.
But it was far away, and he quickly slipped back again into the dark, dreamless world. Doc touched his shoulder, finally waking him to the first pallid light of near dawn.
What is it, Doc?
I heard nothing and saw less.
Ryan stood and stretched, easing the night's stiffness from cracking muscles. Around him, the others were waking, wiping a heavy dew from their coats.
Saw an old vid once about a ruined city with lots of temples. That's what this place reminds me of. Think we'll find any freezies around here?
Or a gateway?
Most places have the gateway buried deep. Always a chance. Have to get a real lucky ace on the line to find any live freezies.
What do you think Strass'd do?
I don't know, Jack. I've been thinking about it. The way I see it, it doesn't look like there's anywhere to run. He's tough enough to go cross-country and work back north. We could do it if we really had to.
I fear that the future looks bleak for poor Mildred.
Can't argue with that, Doc. Place like this. The bastard could hide up.
Good tracking. All this sand all over. Strasser can run, but he sure can't hide from us forever.
Ryan looked around in the dawn's light.
Best get moving and see if we can find some way inside the redoubt.
It was a world of destruction. As soon as there was the first hint of pinkish-yellow light in the east, Strasser roused Mildred.
Come on, you fucking leper.
He quickly cut through the cords with his ivory-hilted knife, pasting on his feral grin as she rolled on the floor. Once she could stand, he was off and running, pushing her ahead of him. He followed some crazed logic of his own, winding and doubling between the ruins, climbing over tottering gantries and bridges of rusting metal, across chasms filled with quicksand. She realized that he was trying to find a way into the complex, but every gate and door was long blocked or fallen. It hardly spoke to her, apart from the occasional curse, generally accompanied by a slap or a kick. Once they stopped, and he allowed her to sip from a canteen of warm, stale water. The rest of the time, they moved at dizzying speed.
That bastard Strasser fast.
Jack waited for the others to catch up to him. They were on the edge of an open space. All around them rose the wreckage of the massive military complex. Some walls still stood, 40 to 50 feet high, some with slitted obports, shadowed slashes of blackness against the sun-washed concrete. It made the skin crawl to know that Court Strasser might be behind any of the windows, squinting through the sniper scope of his SVD. The tracks were easy to follow, Mildred's sneakers and Strasser's boots. They were wide-spaced, showing the pair was often running. Occasionally they'd vanish on bare stone, but the albino teenager would always pick them up again.
We're closing in.
JB pointed at a deep heel mark, with some water still seeping into it.
Minutes is all.
Ryan had a sudden sense that an ending was coming near. Before they found Court Strasser, they stumbled over the remnants of what had once been the cryo center. Ryan's fears proved right. The buildings hadn't been built as solidly as those of the redoubt, and the effects of the nuking and subsequent quakes had proved totally ruinous. Only one part had been freakishly preserved, where a roof had fallen at an angle and had protected one of the inner chambers. The five friends stood by the canted concrete roof, trying to make out what lay beneath it. There was the glint of glass. Doc straightened.
I do not imagine anything can have survived beneath that, Ryan.
No.
Sensing Ryan's disappointment, Christy touched him gently on the arm.
Want to go take a look, Lover?
Yeah. Jack and JB remained outside the tumbled building, on watch against the appearance of Court Stresser.
Watch that roof, Ryan. I've seen better on pest hole outhouses.